Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to be in the book of James this morning. And I just thought I'd tell you, I'm very happy to announce that in the coming weeks, you're going to see a little bit less of me. If I could just stay on my diet. See if you're awake, paying attention. Some people are so poor, they can't pay attention. You know that? But anyway, we're here to worship the Lord and see what we can gain from His Word this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to speak and to study and to present thoughts that God places on my heart. We're going to be talking about practicing patience. Practicing patience. And we'll have some fun with it toward the end of the lesson this morning. We'll be in the same book next Sunday, the book of James. Different chapter, but in our last session, we considered the building blocks of wisdom as they were presented there in James chapter 3 and verse 17. If you're there in James, look at verse 17 of chapter 3. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, easy to acclimate, easy to participate, easy to involve in your own character, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. The more I study, the more I realize that there are flaws in our character. And we keep praying and working and letting the Holy Spirit remake that vessel, repair that vessel. He talks about vessels a lot in the Bible, and I don't want to be a crackpot. I want it to be smoothed out and smoothed over and made like it's supposed to be. We're talking about the building blocks, the pillars of wisdom. In chapter 3 and verse 13, he says, meekness of wisdom, strength under control of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 4 and verse 10 is the memory verse of the whole book, where he talks about being humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. That's probably the greatest need in every Christian life, is more humility. We can get lifted up so easily. Well, we talked about early on in our beginning of this study, as we approached the book of James, it's works and faith, and that's all we've ever heard. But the Lord laid it on my heart to use the theme of the pursuit of holiness. The pursuit of holiness. Each of the subjects that God has laid on our hearts has thus far been an integral and essential aspect in our pursuit of holiness. With trials, they're first thing out of the box on Chapter 1 of James talks about rejoicing in trials and temptations. And then he warns us against prejudice. There's a little prejudice in all of us. And then he talks about wisdom and holiness. And as we've studied this, I hope that you have found it amazing in your own life, the changes that God is making in your life as you desire to abide. That was our theme last year. I still love it. It's ongoing, more like the Master, to allow Christ to live in and through us, genuinely pursuing His holiness. And we all know that Christ lives within us when we're saved, right? And Christ is holy, right? So it is not wrong to say, if someone asks, well, you think you're holy? I know I'm holy. Well, boy, you're sure proud. No, I'm holy because Jesus lives within me and He's holy. And He's trying to conquer these areas in my life of pride. And He wants to. And that's a great theme in many of the books of the New Testament. So we're going to be talking this morning about focusing on the practice of patience. And then next Sunday it's going to be, let patience have her perfect work, or the result of letting patience become a part of your Christian character. James chapter 5, begin reading with verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. That's much on our minds, isn't it? Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now, the term patience has two definitions in the Greek language as it pertains to humanity. Number one, when dealing with people, you need a lot of patience, endurance, forbearing, long-suffering. I can think of a few examples when it's been my place to suffer patience. I was thinking a while ago, many long years ago, it was in April, the month of April, and I was been asked to come to a youth camp to talk to a group of college students from all over the country. And so I went. There was about 1,000 young people there from every state in the country. And those young guys didn't have any more sense than to put up the shades on the shields, the wooden things over the windows, and it's all between, there was between us and the North Pole. This is in the valley in Arkansas in April. And it's like 29, 30 degrees outside, and there was nothing between us and the North Pole but a screen. Somewhere along about 1 o'clock in the morning, I finally pulled one of the mattresses off of the other bunks and used that for my cover. I finally got to sleep. Well, the next morning we had breakfast, and then they had some classes, and then about 11 o'clock we met in the cafeteria. And by that time I was warm. I'd had a couple of pots of coffee. And so then they decided before we ate or before we had the sermon, they'd have a business meeting. That was at 11 o'clock. And close to 1 o'clock they finally ended their business meeting. And the lunch was cold and all of that, but I said, now, folks, I'm so glad to be here. I said, I've suffered through the night of cold. I've listened all morning long to a business meeting that doesn't pertain to me, and I said, I'm not leaving till I preach. But we had a good time. The Lord blessed. It was an opportunity of a lifetime. So when dealing with people, we need to have forbearance. We need to be long-suffering. I can honestly say, at this point in my life, I am the recipient of a lot of patience. My close friends, my relatives, our son was here a few weeks ago, and we were sitting at the table, and I was telling him one of my experiences and stories, and I looked at his face, and I could tell by the look on his face. I said, son, have I told you this situation before? He says, yes, Dad. Several times? Yes, Dad. I said, well, am I basically telling it the same way? I said, you're very patient. I said, if I do that again, tell me. It won't hurt my feelings. But you get older and you appreciate opportunities of telling people your stories and experiences of life. The first time it's okay, the second time. But anyway, you're so gracious. Some of you have been with us and we appreciate that, and exercising godly patience with me. Consider the patience of David over in 2 Samuel 16. We're not going to take the time to read it, but the occasion has always awed at me just a little bit. David was leaving Jerusalem and going across the Jordan River and to escape his son. He did not want to do battle with his family. Enough damage had already been done to his family, and he had taken his people, and they were hurrying along. And there was a fellow over on the hill walking along beside him, and it was Shimei. And Shimei was cursing, taking God's name in vain, cursing David. For whatever reason, I don't know, it doesn't say. But One of the fellows says, I'll just go over there and lob his head off. He said, no, leave him alone. Leave him alone. It's okay. Let him cuss. He'll answer to God. It did not get him bent out of shape. He endured the cursing of Shimei. I would find it very difficult to bear a person cursing at me. Have you ever been cursed? I have. Yeah, by a church member. Yeah, that was hard to take. The second definition of patience has to do with our attitude, our action in respect of things and circumstances. I think my illustration a while ago was more circumstantial than anything. Probably most needed in our lives is this patience in circumstances. I heard a good illustration in a sermon this week. This man was running late, traffic and so forth. He got to the airport and he got his ticket stamped and was running to the gate and just almost there, and the door closed on the airplane. And he said, open the door, let me in. I mean, we can't, it's already done. And oh, he was furious. I mean, he just went into a rage. So he went over and he got in line to talk to the manager and register his complaint. And then everything got quiet and the announcement came over the PA system. We're so sorry to announce that flight such and such crashed on takeoff and all 276 people lost their lives. That was his airplane. Be careful what you complain about. God may be protecting you from a very sad experience or even death. We talk about sometimes the patience of God. Those are the two definitions of man and his own life. But the patience of God, aren't we grateful for his patience? Oh, my. The patience of God has to do with his actions toward human beings. You see, things cannot rebel against God. They're under his control. I mean, you know, when the volcanoes erupt, God caused that. Yeah. When the storm clouds come, God causes that. He exercises his attribute of patience toward us. We read Exodus 34, well, over and over and over and over again, how that God's people would provoke him and he'd exercise patience. His individual leaders would provoke him and he would exercise his patience and put up with them. Look at Romans chapter 15 and verse 5. We'll read this verse and I'm going to make a statement concerning the attributes of God by Henry Morris. He's one of my favorite people that I read his comments. Romans 15, 5, now the God of patience and consolation. We need both of those. Grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. God is patient. God offers consolation, encouragement, understanding, empathy. And he says, you need that in your life. You need to learn how to utilize that from one to another in your life. The patience of God, here's a statement that Henry M. Morris made. The patience of God is exercised when he respects the will of people which he gave him when he created man. That's a mouthful. That's kind of difficult to get your mind around. God made us in his likeness. He gave us the ability and responsibility of will, making our own decisions. And he says, now make up your own decision that you're going to be kind to other people. You're going to offer consolation to other people. That you're going to be as patient with other people as I am with you. And that's a good measuring stick, isn't it? So as you read the Gospels, I find this very interesting. To notice how Jesus was so patient. And his reaction with the Jews. Especially the Pharisees and the scribes and they followed him around all the time. Everywhere he went, they followed him. They just chomping at his heels like a barking pack of dogs. charges and the constant barbs and the challenges by the supposedly religious leaders. One of the outstanding events in the life of Jesus, I think, is in, I believe, Luke 7. This Pharisee invited him home to eat with him. Now, I don't understand yet. I'm still working on it. But when they invited Jesus, the 12 apostles went along. So he didn't invite one. They had a whole group to go. And even then, the Pharisees were outside to offer their criticisms. So we went to the man's house to eat. While he was there, a woman came in, and she had a reputation, and it wasn't a good one. And she began to weep, and her tears were on his feet, and she dried his feet, then washed his feet, his dirty feet, perhaps, with the hair of her head. And Simon was very critical, and he didn't say it out loud, but it was in his mind and in his heart. And Jesus, being God in the flesh, knew his heart. And he asked Simon the measuring. He says, how do you measure a person's love? By how much they've been saved from is the bottom line. He says, well, I suppose the one to whom most is given, forgiven. He said, that's right. And then the scene is this. The woman is here at his feet. Simon's over here washing the dishes or getting the lunch ready or whatever he's doing. He's looking at the woman, but he's talking to Simon. He said, Simon, when I came in, you didn't wash my feet. This woman hasn't stopped washing my feet since I came here. And he went on and made comparisons between this woman and Simon. I just love it. At the end, he said, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. But he had patience even with Simon. I'd like to know what happened to Simon. I'd like to know if it made any difference in his life. Just pause a moment. Contemplate the innumerable times God has exercised his patience with you. Well, that hit me right in the pit of the stomach this morning. I could think of a couple of times yesterday. Wow. God is the author, the provider of patience, and he gives it to us freely. God of patience and consolation. Here in James 5, verses 7 through 11, the Lord provides some illustrations to teach us how that we might apply this great and accumulate and take in and receive this great grace of patience. The first is in verses 1 through 6. To make an application of the rich taking advantage of you. I read this week, said, in wars, only the rich profit. Everybody else loses. But here in this situation, the essence is, the lesson that we want to get this morning is how to deal with people who have taken advantage of you. We are living in that situation right now. There has been, in my opinion, a lot of fraud in this election. But they've had 4 years to lay, they've had a lifetime to lay these plans, but they've been executing them for the last 4 years. There are those in America who are ready to say, where's my uniform? Let me get my rifle. They're ready to take up arms. We'll probably have some of that. We will probably have a lot of civil disobedience, whichever way it goes. But what should be your position? What should be my position? Just pray and leave it in God's hands. God is the one that sets up king and kings, and God is the one that takes down kings. There are several scriptures about that. I like the one in Proverbs which says, the hand of the king is the life of the king is in the hand of the Lord. I like that. So don't bear a grudge. I don't like it. I don't like the people. Never have liked them. But I can pray for them. I find it hard to pray for some of them. They would use religion, but they don't like God. Anyway, but pray for that person. God is a just God. The judge standeth at the door. That's what this scripture says. The judge standeth at the door. I love the scripture and I rest upon it many times. That one day when Jesus comes out of the clouds, out of the sky, and we're with him, and he's coming to Jerusalem, and he's going to the temple, and he's going to set up his kingdom, every eye shall see him. Every eye in hell, every eye upon the earth is going to see him. I don't know how that's going to work, but that's what God says, and I believe it. Every eye shall see him, and every knee shall bow. You either bow now in humility, or you bow down then for judgment. I'm glad I've got his salvation, his forgiveness. So we can use this as a learning experience to let God take it. We're going to have the same commission. We've got the same Savior. Same promises. We go on with our work. Others have suffered persecution in the past. Hey, this country was under persecution. Christians were when they had the war for independence. I could give you a lot of stories about that. But that's not the lesson. Verses 7 and 8, he says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." He mentions there the early and latter rain. I know a little bit about farming, not a lot. We did live on a dairy for the first 8 years of my life. My brother-in-law and sister had been farmers all of their married life, and his father before him and his grandfather before him were farmers, and they farmed out in western Oklahoma. When that land, that country out there was first settled, it had the blue stem grass like they have in the Flint Hills, so good for cattle. But those guys wanted to farm, so they tore up the soil to plant crops. It wasn't good enough for crops. They ruined it for both. I remember years when 20 bushel an acre was a good crop for wheat. They don't pay the bills. But they would pray for rain. They'd get the grain in the seed in the ground. And I've been out there once, one Thanksgiving, we went out and it was just plowed it up and got the seed in the ground and praying for rain. Well, we got the wind and blew the topsoil away and ruined that crop. Early and latter rain. Just be patient and wait. God's got charge of it. Let God be the judge. Verse 10. Take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Wife and I have been reading in the afternoon in Isaiah and picking out wonderful verses that just lift you up and challenge you, and it's just good. I've got, I don't know how many, probably 40 or 50 verses already. I thought of this great man, Isaiah. He got right with God when the year Uzziah died. I've heard people criticize Isaiah for having such an allegiance to him, but then I read it's possible that he was related to Uzziah. Regardless it was, it held him in high esteem. But he served under five different kings, five different administrations. Years he preached. I don't find any converts. That'd be a long time, wouldn't it, preacher? His congregation didn't grow. All he had was rebellion. As a matter of fact, he got so mad at him a time or two, he put him in the pit. My. I think of Daniel, taken from his own people, his own surroundings, his own family, his own country, and taken to a foreign country, where they were going to do their very best to convert him to their way of thinking and use him to further their cause, and which was opposed to God. I'm thinking, just a guess, and maybe you have more knowledge of it than I do, but I think Daniel was probably about 18 when he went over there. And boy, the things that he went through. Now, God used him, but he had opposition. God would use him, and the people would try to tear him down. He served faithfully in exile all of his life. Near as I can figure, Daniel served in Babylon 73 years. I'd put him at about 91. You guys that are interested in Bible study, kind of look in Ezra and Nehemiah and some of those other prophets of when they began to return, and see if you don't find a Daniel there, and you wonder if that's the same Daniel going back. And then they were asked about how they saw it now. They remembered the temple and its glory, and now it's in rubble. And I just thought, just a thought. But Daniel served faithfully, and God rewarded him. Verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful of tender mercy. Job had both, people and things. Imagine, I cannot imagine his loss. I cannot imagine. Every dime he had was taken away from him. He had no resources monetarily. His health was restricted tremendously. Broke out in boils, and he sat on an ash heap, and he would scrape himself with a piece of broken glass to try to get relief from those boils. I cannot imagine that. Even his wife had lost respect for him. Why don't you just curse God and die? But over and over and over, he said he had integrity. He would not lose it. Now, he became self-righteous. I don't know what I would have done. I don't want to know. But he exercised patience, especially toward his friends, so-called friends. With friends like that, you don't need any enemies. They came to console, and all they could do was put him down. But God had strategically designed those trials for Job. That didn't take God by surprise. He knew what was going to happen because God had a purpose. Before we run out of time, I want to ask you two questions. You might jot these down. When it was all said and done, we know that Job had twice as much as he had before, but that's not the point. Don't miss the point. Go back and read chapters 41 and 42 and see how you think the conversation went between God and Job. I don't think it was a put-down situation. I don't think God stood there and said, Job, where were you when I created the world? Here's a loving arm put around his shoulders, Job. Where were you when I made the world? I'm encouraging Job, God says. You need to get that picture. Tender. God is a God of what? Of patience. And what? Consolation. I believe he consoled Job. He consoled Job. Wow. How much nearer was Job to God after that experience? To what extent did the Lord and Job fellowship? Just think about the fellowship they had in 41 and 42. There was an end to the patience of Job. That doesn't mean that he never did have any patience anymore. That's not what it says. But the desired result, and that's where we're going to begin next Sunday, the desired result got Job where God wanted him to be before all of this started. He lived 140 years after this experience. He saw his great-grandchildren. What a life. There's no end to the patience of God toward us who believe. The reason that we need patience and God wants us to have patience is so that the methods God is using to develop us for His glory can only be reached when we're patient with Him, when we're patient with others that God brings into our life. God's going to bring some people into your life that agitate you. He may bring another John Britton into your life. One at a time is enough. I know that sometimes I agitate people, but just remember, God is using us, both you and me. The end of the Lord, very pitiful, verse 11, and of tender mercy. Personal Christian growth. The exercise of faith, answers to the Lord, near to the Lord, abiding with the Lord. I had had a thought, and I mentioned this to Pastor yesterday. I thought, okay, ladies, would you help me out for my lesson next Sunday? Would you write down one or two things in which your husband needs to show more patience toward you and give them to Sister Reeves? And she said, I've got a list. So I said, we better not do that. We did that, didn't we? We did that in His presence. But it was fun. Just ask, in what areas of your personal life do you need to exercise more patience? With other drivers? Oh my, now you're going to meddling and quit preaching. Do you really want patience? It's available. It's available. Then ask ourselves, what is the purpose of God in giving us patience? And then we'll pick up there next Sunday. Let God, let patience have her perfect work. Lord, we thank you for giving us the patience that we need. Oh, how we need to exercise it. We love you, Lord. Love your word. Thank you for this opportunity of breaking the bread with these people. May it be a blessing to them and encouragement. Thank you for our pastor. Bless him as he feeds the flock now with the message you've given him for us. In Jesus' name, amen.